God, we pray that you would cause us to obey you, not only be hearers of the word, but doers of your word, to stand for righteousness. And Lord, we pray as we come together right now in your word, as we look this month at understanding the days and the age in which we live in and how awesome it is to be a Christian at a time like this. Father, with great, great illumination, may you move in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46, as we are now in part two, or the second session, I should say, of our month-long series, Awaken. Contrary to what Jay Smith said last week to me, what is Awaken? Awaken. He said, I know Arabic, but I don't get that. Because as you know, how many of you were here last weekend? And you hear, oh my goodness. And I hope you came out for Sunday night. Sunday night was actually, will prove to be, you would have been involved last Sunday night in an actual historical revelation, in the sense that a message was hosted here last Sunday night with renowned expert Jay Smith and regarding apologetics. And it's about to hit YouTube worldwide. And it is amazing what's going on. It has shaken the Islamic community. And scholars around the world, Islamic scholars, are looking at this undeniable data that has come out of Islamic research that has and will continue to undermine completely Islamic theology. It's remarkable. And I have no doubt, as Jay, I was talking to him this morning, we have no doubt that it's going to lead to the salvation of millions, if not a billion, Muslims around the world. Specifically, he thinks it's going to start with the women. It's going to start with the women of Islam because of the data. And look, this is Islamic data. This is not Christian data. This is data that has now been discovered by a series of archaeological discoveries, and it is absolutely awesome. So if you know any Muslim people, you need to get last Sunday's message, and you need to get last Sunday night's message and understand it and disseminate that out to your Muslim friends, because they are going to come and talk to you about who Jesus is and how do I get saved, because it is absolutely awesome. Well, listen, this Sunday, today, we embark upon a message in our series, and here's the title. Jot it down if you would. It is this: the 21st century Christian. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The 21st century Christian. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that sound like? And that's us. So who are we? Who are we to be in the 21st century as believers? And in the midst of this, there'll be sprinklings, I should say, of a little bit of updates of what's happened in the world, because you and I are living in the 21st century. 21 centuries since the coming of Christ. And you and I are here, and we're awaiting the return of the Lord. But until he comes, we're to be very busy about our Father's business. Isaiah 46, beginning at verse 9. This is what God says. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Christian, you and I have something, as I often say to you, to boast about that nobody else on the planet has the opportunity. And that is that our God is not only the one true saving God, he's the God of history, he's the God of the future, he's the God of archaeology, he's the God of all the sciences, as we'll see more of this morning. But he is the God who alone has the ability, and you ought to mark this down, because the gods of the cults cannot do what I'm about to say. He has the ability to reveal to us what is going to happen in advance in such detail that he says, if anyone claims to be a prophet and says something that does not come to pass, he said they are to be not only rejected, but in the Old Testament era, they were to be stoned. In the New Testament era, they are to be rejected. We just turn from them. And Paul said, you mark them. You mark them out. Why? Because false prophets, as we shall see this morning, deceive and ultimately are used by Satan to go after the souls of men. What's the big deal? Living in the 21st century as Christians, I'm praying that you and I would be armor clad like never before. This doctrine of God knowing the future, and we study it, is called eschatology. That is the biblical science of studying God who reveals the future. You guys should know by now that nearly 27% of your Bible, imagine that. Imagine dividing up your Bible and one quarter of your Bible is given over to God telling the future for you to study. Nobody else can do this. The Book of Mormon cannot do this. The writings of the Jehovah Witnesses cannot do this. Buddhism and Hinduism don't even attempt it. And Islam cannot do it. The Bible does it. That's why when something goes on in the world, like it is right now in Syria and soon in the Middle East, no one calls Islamic clerics or Mormon theologians and asks them, what's going to happen next? What does the book say about what's going to happen in the Middle East? Did you know that? Everybody calls, or the media calls, people like Dr. Ed Heinsohn or David Hawking or Tim LaHaye or Jerry Jenkins or some of those others, or Mark Hitchcock, who will be with you next week. Amazing things. The Bible. It's the Bible. And it's awesome. Three themes we'll look at this morning. Mark them down if you care to. We'll look at them in the points in a moment as we need to. Number one, we'll look at this. According to God, He has declared, and He alone has declared, that He tells the future in advance. Number two, we'll see that what is happening in the world right now has a massive significance influence on you and I living our lives as Christians in the 21st century. And thirdly, we're going to see that the prophetic biblical doctrines of the Bible expose false teachers, false prophets, and false religions. And you might say this morning, well, what do I care? I just want to have my little tea with my Bible and a flower, and I don't want to get into that stuff. Can't. Too late. You were born in the wrong century. This is the 21st century, and it's marked by deception, false prophets, and false religions. And the Bible says you are to know and to discover how you should respond to them and how to identify them. I've marked a few things down. I'm sure you can add to this list, but being a Christian in the 21st century to me means this. Number one, we would see we are seeing a massive decline in marriage and family. Genesis, I would say then, is under attack. You and I are living in a time when humanism and secularism is controlling now the areas of power. You and I are also living in a time, hello, like today, of wars and rumors of wars. Wow. By the way, the Bible says that's only going to heat up more and more as we approach the end times, deeper into the end times. You and I are living at a time, listen to this, when logic and reason is no longer making sense to a lot of people. Did you know a lot of people in America, California, the world for that matter, they think everything's going great. Every time there's a new decision that affects your life for the negative, there's a whole crowd cheering saying, this is awesome. That ought to wake you up, right? Amazing. And then also I wrote this down, that you and I are living at times when lies have become easier to believe than the truth. Lies are certainly more convenient. And the internet is full of lies. They look good. Oh, they're wrapped in great graphics. They're the syntax, the sentence, the paragraph looks good. You can't even trust pictures anymore. Did you know that? Did you know just recently Iran revealed a new fighter plane that is the most advanced fighter plane in the world? Did you know that? It can do everything and anything. Did you know it was discovered to be an internet hoax by the Iranian government? That the model that the guy was sitting in and all the government officials walked around it, looked at it, it was made out of wood. It was a mock. It was fake. And it's all over the web that Iran's got the most state-of-the-art fighter jet ever created. And if you don't have a trained ear or eye to what's going on, you would say, wow, isn't that fantastic? That's amazing. It's fake. We live in an amazing time, church. Listen, why should we be concerned as Christians living in the 21st century? Well, because, listen, it matters how we conduct ourselves in this life. It really does matter. Because I know there's a lot of Christians who don't want to get into this topic. They don't even want to come here this month. Because they just don't want to be reminded of this stuff. But listen to what Peter has to say. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, in other words, the world is going to burn up someday, what manner of persons ought you to be? Well, number one, holy in our conduct. Look at that. Number two, conducting ourselves in godliness. Number three, this is awesome, looking for, and number four, hastening the coming of the day of God. Every believer. See, if you guys were really right on, you would have went, amen. Did that veiled insult kind of wake you up a little bit? Are you guys with me? We are to be living in such a way that God uses us to announce Jesus is coming and that there's a termination of all this stuff. So here we go. Point number one, the 21st century Christian, mark it down. We are expected to know God's word better now. Can I say better now than ever before? The Christian today, isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit should walk up to the Christian today walking in and out of any church, and the Holy Spirit should be able to say, asking us a question, and we as Christians should be able to respond better to a biblical issue of life better now than at any other time in the last 21 centuries. Did you know that? Right now. We've got more Bible, more access. Do you have it on? Do you have your Bible right now with you? I have my Bible with me. I also have my Bible on my phone. I have Bible on CD. I have Bible on DVD. I have Bible on MP3. You can't get away from the Bible. Listen, our age should mark the fact that we know the Bible more now than any century ever. And I just want to ask you this question. Do we? Is the church known and marked as knowing the Bible better than any other time? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Well, how so? How can we know the Bible better than ever before? And why should we? Mark it down. Chronology. Chronology. Chronology is in our favor. When I mention the word chronology, I think you know what I mean by that. But it's rooted in the Greek, Latin derivative also has been brought before us. Chronos in Greek. You know what it means. Time. Time. Time is in our favor. Do you guys remember Mick Jagger?
Time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Remember him? Have you seen him lately? Time has not proven to have been on his side. The guy looks like he's 150 years old, still rocking, still rolling, right? But that song, time is on my side. That is not true unless you are a Christian. Time is on our side as Christians. Well, how so? Listen, chronology is in our favor. And it's an amazing thing. Ecclesiastes 3:11, you ought to mark it down. It's a great verse. It says that God has planted eternity in the human heart. We dwell, every human being, believer or non-believer, has a thought, has a sense regarding eternity, about living forever. Chronology matters, time matters. But for the Christian, it is absolutely true. And it is an awesome thing to think about. Time has given you and I as Christians more opportunities. We're in the 21st century. Isn't this fantastic? We just heard that message I was talking about where time now is exposing the fallacies of Islam. And it's coming down. Christianity, time has always been in our favor. The more archaeology, the more investigation, the more deliberation, the more debate, the more arguing. Christianity comes out stronger. It comes through the fire of criticism and comes out stronger. That is your theology. That is your God. That's your Bible. Aren't you glad about that? That you don't have to worry and be fearful that somebody might find something in some basement in Brooklyn that destroys your theology? It's not going to happen. It's not. You are so firm. Look at our enemies to our scripture do us justice. They do us better. Time exposes the truth. It works in our favor as Christians. Shouldn't surprise us. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 tells us, you know this, at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, referring to Jesus. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. And listen, Everlasting Father is how it reads in the English, Prince of Peace. But the Everlasting Father, Jesus is not the Father. The word means Jesus is the authority, the ruling governor over time. Jesus, listen, it's awesome declaration that the Son governs the conduct of eternity and time, physical time, in our temporariness as humans. Time's going to come to an end someday? And then eternity continues on. Eternity's always there. And in between eternity is our time zone where you and I live. And the Bible says Jesus is the governor of all of it. You're Jesus. And that revelation comes, as I said, from the book of Isaiah nearly 3,000 years ago. That's a long time. And that's exactly what we understand. Listen, the 21st century Christian is to know God's word better than before. Look, by discovery. Discovery is to our advantage. What does the created universe have in common with the biblical prophecies of the Bible? You ought to ask yourself that question. What does the created universe? You see people say, oh, Bible prophecy doesn't matter to me. Stop. Think. What does the created universe around you, in fact, you yourself, and the solar system, for that matter, the cosmos, plural, the universes and universes, what do they have in common? You say, I can't even begin to think what they have in common. They both have the same argument as to who its creator is. In the Bible, the observable physical universe that you and I have contact with, and the one that is outside our influence, space and time, and Bible prophecy, it's the same God, and he speaks with perfect harmony regarding both these things. It's the same author. You wouldn't be surprised if you read a series of books and it sounded somewhat like it was coming from the same person, because it's the same author. God is the same author. That's important for us to understand, and I'll show you why in a moment. The God who says, the God of the Bible, who says, for example, Israel will become a nation again in one day, Bible prophecy. Notice, Israel will become a nation again in one day. That means Israel was once a nation, they will stop being a nation, and then they'll be a nation again, and it will happen not in a month, not in a week, not in a year, in one day. God, the same God that said that in the Old Testament also said this, watch this, because that's Bible prophecy what I said a moment ago. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay, listen, the same God who spoke that Bible prophecy speaks to our observable universe. How so? Leviticus 17:11. Hello? Leviticus 17:11. What are we going back? Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. We're going back nearly 5,000 years ago. Here it is. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Why? Because it is the life. The blood flow is the life of anything. The Bible says nearly 5,000 years ago that the foundation to sustain human life, and you say, what are you making this a big deal for? Everybody knows this. Listen, up until about 400 years ago, we didn't know that. The scientific world did not know that. They didn't even think of that. Did you know that? In fact, the last thing before we found out scientifically that Leviticus 17:11 was true was that scientists believed back in those days that air, because they noticed if you choke something, it died. And they said, well, then air, this is what sustains life. And they believed that for years. And so they mistreated a lot of people's illnesses back in those days. And then science discovered what? It's not air, it's blood. It's blood. Guess what was waiting? The Bible was like this. Oh, you guys, come on. Must I take my time to see this happen? The Bible was waiting for science to catch up to what the Bible had already said. You ever think of that? Tell your kids that while they enter school. The Bible's waiting for true scientific discovery, not make-believe. A lot of make-believe going on. Listen, it's the same God who in Isaiah 40:22 says, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Did you hear that? The circle of the earth. There are still religions preaching that the earth is flat. Did you know that? Google it. Religions that, not now, later. Okay, no. There are religions today that believe the earth is flat. Listen, Christopher Columbus was considered to be an idiot because he said it's got to be round and it's got to be a ball. Scientists before that great explorer said, you know what? In fact, there are scientists who were condemned by even the Catholic Church of old because they said, the world's got to be round and it's got to go around the sun. The sun doesn't go around the earth. And they said, you're going to jail for that. That's heresy. It was great science, And listen, the sources of their conclusion was the Bible. Did you know that? Go study that. Go look at that. God says, I sit on the circle of the earth. Well, what does science show us? Exactly that. It's the same God who says in Job 26:7, He, God, stretches out the north over empty space, and He hangs the earth upon nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, Jack, why are you doing this? Because there are religions today, in fact, one of them is invading your child's classroom, and they don't want you to know this. But in their ancient writings, which is supposed to be from God, it says that the sun, for example, or the earth rides on the back of a turtle. Or that when the sun sets, it goes into a pool of mud or of goop. Did you know that? But it's being hidden from people. Why? Because it's false knowledge. It's not God. God says, listen, I hold all of this in the span of my hand. It's nearly, not actually, but nearly infinite, God says. It's a hint. Though it be material, it seems to you on earth, it goes forever. And God says, I've done that. It's the same God who says in Job 38:31, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Did you know that? Job, oldest book in the Bible. God says, hey, Job, I have a constellation. It's called the Pleiades. Look up Pleiades today. You'll go to a lot of NASA websites. Did you know that? How cool is that? Or loose the belt of Orion, you'll see Orion in the sky. Can you bring out Maseroth? That's Hebrew for the Babylonian corruption of Zodiac. God condemns the Zodiac. Why? Because the Zodiac took the Maseroth, the 12 constellations that preached the gospel, 12 constellations of the Maseroth, and the Zodiac twisted it and took it away from God in Babylonianism and corrupted it. That's what Satan does. He's really good at that stuff. For example, I'll give you one clue. The lion would come from the tribe of Judah. Babylonian soothsayers and astrologers took the Babylonian data when they captured Israel and the Hebrew children and converted their worship of Yahweh to Baal worship and said, no, we don't like this lion coming from the tribe of Judah stuff. We're going to call it Leo. And whatever you can find in the Zodiac is brought out from the source or the root of the Maseroth. And it's the gospel. The Bible infers that God has preached the gospel to the world and the stars, to the ancient world. The virgin, Virgo, the virgin's going to bring, and the celestial heavens, it's amazing because the bright and morning star, there are times in celestial history where the virgin constellation, which the world says Virgo, brings forth the bright and morning star. Interesting stuff. You can look at that stuff later. Zeiss is a great source to read that stuff. It's the same God. It's the same God who says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Isn't that awesome? Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun. That verse speaks about the intricate details and the science of astronomy. God did that. All true science is aligned with Scripture. Did you know that? I want you to remember that. And you tell your young people in your life, all true, did you hear me? True science aligns with Scripture. Why? The same author. Be careful what is called science these days. There are people saying that something's a science and they're playing upon your ignorance. Science is something that can be studied, taken apart, looked at individually, reassembled, and reproduced or replicated over and over again. That is science. You want to have a doctor operating on you who is very disciplined to obey the sciences. If he doesn't, he's going to be playing games with your body. He's going to be making stuff up. That's not science. Now look, I was feeling very ornery the other day when I put these notes together. And yet, everything I'm going to tell you is true. It's just not politically correct. Are you sitting down? Here it is. All the true sciences align with Scripture. That's why the religion of evolution, that should have got your heart going. The religion of evolution doesn't agree with God. It's bad science and it's bad religion. You say, religion of evolution? Evolution's not proven. It's a conjecture, hello. Think about it. It's not, listen, there's no evidence it ever happened. It's not happening now. And the nail in the coffin is the fact that the DNA announces that things are written a certain way and they stay that certain way. And if there's any variance within the species, it's already found in the DNA. And there's not one fossil of a transitional form ever found in the history of man. Do you understand that? There's not a lizard with feathers. Or there's not a bird with a lizard tail. If this would have happened over millions of years, where's the evidence? It's not there. Do you believe in evolution? Listen, if someone says to you, I believe in evolution, that makes it a religion. So it's not a religion. I'm sorry, I thought you believed in it. Did you hear me? It's a belief system. It's a religion. In fact, as ornery as I felt, I wrote this down. Evolution is the religion of atheism. Atheism is the foundation of communism. And communism has killed more people in history than all other religions combined in their holy wars. Did you know that? Did you know that? When God is dead in the minds of men, men die. If there's no fear of God in a culture in their minds, then there's no regard for the quality of life. There's no regard for welfare of life. There's no regard for the unborn, because there is no God in the thinking of people. Are you with me? Do you understand that? And listen, I want to say it again, and then you go research it. Take all the holy wars that you can study and put, and you'll get a number to it. Because, you know, people love to say, there's been more killing in the name of religion than anything else. Not true. Don't let them get away with it. Pol Pot, Mao, Hitler, Stalin, Marx. Stalin, 60 million of his own people. And now, look at Assad in Syria. 100,000 plus people in the last 22 months, dead. Listen, it is amazing to think of the age in which we live in. Scientific discovery never, never undermines God. It always asserts and comes in alignment with the Word of God. And if you're having a hard time with this, I could spend a whole year talking about this issue. If you're having a hard time with this, think of this. How is it that when Sir Isaac Newton discovered the discoveries that he did, that he wound up writing Principia Mathematica, which is to this day the greatest writing on scientific discovery in the history of man? And you know what the conclusion of Isaac Newton's writings was? That all of his discoveries have led him to a greater worship of God and a greater faith in God. That's what real science does. You say, how does this have to do with prophecy? It has everything to do with prophecy. Because the God of science is the same one who authors Bible prophecy. And they're in absolute agreement with what's going on in the world around us. Listen to this. Again, I got this feeling ornery. And we're going to put this up on the slide. It's a statement from NASA, from the Goddard Space Center, Robert Jastrow. There is a strange ring of feeling and emotion in these reactions of scientists to evidence. By the way, this is not a Christian speaking. He's not a Christian. That the universe had a sudden beginning. These feelings come from the heart, whereas you would expect the judgments to come from the brain. Why? I think part of the reason is that scientists cannot bear the thought of a natural phenomenon which cannot be explained. Even with unlimited time and money, there's a kind of religion in science. For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the heights of the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he's greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. Robert Jastrow, Goddard Space Center, NASA. That is an amazing, and he's not a Christian. That's awesome. That's exciting. I love that. The more we probe, the more we search, the more we gain knowledge, the greater our understanding and revelation is of the scripture. The third thing under this point is this, and I really need to hurry up. So here we go. Is theology is our strength. Third point under this consideration. The 21st century Christian is to know God's word better than ever because theology is our strength. And let me explain what I mean by that, by theology. The true knowledge of God. Really knowing him. Really studying him. Really finding out what makes him move and what makes him act and what makes him think and what his heart is. You say, Jack, really? God, really? We can know him? Look, if we can't know him, let's just go to the beach. It's going to be a nice day. Let's just shut this down. No, you can know him. Jesus said in John 17:1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. He's going to pray. And he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may what? Know you, the only true God. And the word implies know Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. The Bible says, be still and know that he is God. The word yada in Hebrew, it means to discover him. God wants to be known by you. Isn't that awesome? Ephesians 1:17, Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians. He says this. This is Paul's prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? Knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Notice all these illuminations. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? The old Westminster Shorter Catechism says, asking a question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God is knowable. To glorify God and to enjoy him. That statement has a presupposition that God is knowable. That is true theology. Do you know God? Bible prophecy takes place around us. Jesus said, these things I've told you in advance that when they happen, you will know that I am he. Isn't that awesome? Someone say amen. That's exciting. That is absolutely wonderful. How knowable is our God? Now, I don't know if you're going to really get turned on about this next verse, but it is amazing. Because no other religion on the planet even suggests that their God or gods can hang out with them. Is that the wrong term? I had somebody write me before. Don't use the word hang out. Okay, that there's no other religion or religions who have a God or gods that hang out with them, that just dwell with them, that just he is, he was, he is to come, he's him. So listen to this. You say, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. And never forget this. How big is your God? How big is the God of the Bible? This big. Watch, Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord walking, hello, in the garden in the cool of the day. Cool of the day, that means like 75 degrees, like Maui. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the what? Presence of the Lord God and among the trees of the garden. Verse 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and Eve, or Adam, and said to him, where are you? Hey, now God knew where he was. He's trying to get him to confess. I'm over here naked because I sinned, hiding behind the bush. You got me. I'm busted. I'm sorry. God would have forgiven him. Did you know that? The knucklehead lies. Oh, my wife messed up my life. But did you get that? Don't miss it, because listen. The God of the Bible walked among Adam and Eve in the garden. How big is your God? Listen, he appears numerous times in Scripture. He shows up. He shows up to Joshua. He shows up to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? See, there's other, the gods of the other religions, they can't do that, because if they get too close to man, they get contaminated. When your God is God, he can't get contaminated. oh, I like this stuff. I am feeling good right now. So good. I need to hurry up so we can finish. We're in deep trouble here. Second point today is that we are expected to recognize current events. That's a fact. Christians, listen. The 21st century believer is expected by God to recognize current events. Why? Answer this. Is the Bible relevant? Is it current? Yeah. So shouldn't you be? Shouldn't we be? Look, right now your neighbors, I have neighbors too. You have neighbors. They're not happy with what's going on. You know how you know? They're avoiding the issue. I really want to give this second point to you in the sense of using it as a witnessing tool, assuming that we all recognize current events that are taking place around us. It's pretty awesome. Relevance. Jot it down. Relevance. We are in touch with God. I really want to be relevant. Then get in touch with God. Know His Word. It's no stretch to say that Christians today should be the most effective and yet controversial promoter of what's going on around the world, current events. We know, you guys, we know what's going on. Isn't it amazing? You guys, right now in the news headlines around the world, I guarantee you, no news headline is telling us what's the latest thing in Peru. Did you think of that? The world is on edge right now at this hour. Why? Well, it's not because Bolivia's having a new parade. Why? What's going on? The world is unanimously concerned about what's happening in Syria. You want to know why? Syria is Bible land. Do you ever think of that? Damascus was a Christian city. It's one of the oldest Christian cities in the history of the world. Did you know that? Syria is Bible land. We always think of Israel. Israel's the heart of the Bible land. But Iraq is Bible land. Persia's Bible land. Lebanon is Bible land. Egypt is Bible land. Jordan's Bible land. And Syria is Bible land. So what's going on? What's happening? The Bible has equipped us at a time like this, church. This is an amazing moment. We are truly relevant because we have the answer. It's pretty amazing. I'm coming to that. It's going to come. You read my notes, maybe. It's happening. It's happening. Any day now, you know. But listen, we are to be relevant. Why so? How so? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means know everything you can about God and about His Word, church. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That whole verse presupposes that the world's going nuts. They're panicking. And you're like this. Look at me. The world's going, what's going to happen? And you're like this. Hey, how you guys doing? Well, don't you know what's happening? Yeah, I know what's happening. You mean you're talking about Syria? Chemical weapons? There's talk about a tactical nuclear device going to be used there. Low-scale nuclear bomb possibly being used by somebody. Yeah, I know what's going on. 260,000 people wounded, 2.6 million people displaced, Syrians, and 110,000 Syrian citizens dead in the last 22 months. Yeah, I know what's going on. Yeah, Assad, it's the war between the Sunnis and the Shiites of Islam. They're killing each other just as they said they would do. Yeah, I know what's going on. Oh, America getting involved in that mess between brothers? Not a good idea. No one walks up and grabs a dog by the ears, says the Bible. Don't do that. You get bit in the face. Don't we have a moral right to get involved? This is nothing to do with that. Christians are dying. There's no doubt about it. And they're going straight to heaven. It's called persecution. It's going to happen. Not that we should ignore it. This is different. We're talking Bible lands. Mr. Obama, you don't go into Bible lands thinking that you're going to make a name for yourself. You are tampering with the God of the Bible. This is eternal stuff. This is Bible stuff. You pick a fight in that region of the world and you could unleash the Third World War in a minute. Not to mention what Britain is concerned about, which they stepped away from the looming attack, possible attack, because they were warned internally that if Britain was in the coalition to attack Syria, that the native Muslims of their country would come against the English government. We've received the same warnings, ladies and gentlemen, and we're not listening to them. Internal Islamic unrest from coast to coast. If we attack Syria, no one's listening. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Why? Bible lands. God is moving. God is at work. Something's going to happen. And we're going to talk about that if I hurry up. Vigilance. We are to be in touch with the world, not of the world, but in touch with the world as to what's going on. Biblical Christianity answers. The Bible answers. Listen, Bible prophecy. Did you know this? It's through Bible prophecy that the Christian has the answer for the immigration issue. We have the issue regarding war, child abuse, equal rights, racism, economics, law and order, government, its creation and its implementation, justice, welfare, even Obamacare. The Bible answers every issue of life. There's an answer to all these things. The Bible. How does it know this? God wrote it in advance, anticipating every situation, every event of life. God knows. And I hope you have that boldness. And what about these current events? Keep your eye. Be watching. As I mentioned a moment ago regarding Syria, this from the news, Syrian President Bashar Assad has said that if Syria is attacked, then what's the logic of this? If the United States or any other nation attacks Syria, that he would order, he's already given the order, by the way, it's if we get attacked, this is what I want. I want Hezbollah to strike Tel Aviv, Israel with chemical weapons. Isn't that funny? If America attacks us, we're going to destroy Israel. If China attacks us, we're going to destroy Israel. If Canada attacks us, we're going to destroy Israel. Where does he get that from? He gets that from Islamic doctrine. Okay? Now, in response to his statement, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, "We will answer Damascus." You know, you got to watch out when Jews talk like that. You know, we'll go. We're going to nuke you. We're going to do this, and we're funny. We're funny. America goes, "We're going to do it at 2:15 on Tuesday." Did you know we do that? We actually tell people when we're coming. When Netanyahu says, by the way, his name means God's gift or gift from God. When Netanyahu says, "We will answer Damascus," the whole world goes, "What does that mean?" And he goes, "That's exactly the response I wanted you to have. We will answer." "What does answer mean?" "We will answer." "But what does that mean?" "Just wait and you'll see how we answer." "We will send airmail to you." The Bible says, listen, why? The Bible says, here's current events. We're kind of bringing this together in vigilance. Christian, be on the guard, be watching. Know what's recognized and recognize what's going on in the world. Know about it. Isaiah 17:1 says, an oracle, that is masah in Hebrew, it means prophecy. A prophecy, an oracle concerning Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. That's never happened before, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah 17:1. Could we see it happen? Maybe. We don't know. But I got to tell you this, we've never been this close to the fulfillment of that prophecy than today. And it may, who knows, you know, Obama's going to address the nation and the world on Tuesday. What's he going to say? Is he going to say, "We just struck Damascus," or "We're about to"? I don't know. But what, I don't know if that verse is going to be fulfilled this week or this month or this year. I don't know. But you got to sit up and recognize and take notice. We're talking about Damascus, Syria, 21st century. Isaiah wrote this nearly 3,000 years ago. It's never happened before. Damascus is filled with people. Can someone say wow? I mean, that's a wow thing. That's why you don't go over there just, "Oh, let's go. I've got to defend my name and my words. Let's go." Wait a minute, you're messing with Bible land. Just have you prayed about it? Right? The next thing is, listen, preparedness. The 21st century Christian is to recognize current events so that we are prepared. We need to be prepared. And we need to do that. How do we do that? Well, first of all, nurturing a heart of expectancy. Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect him." You need to be ready. In Hebrews 10, listen, this is serious stuff. In Hebrews 10:24-25, it says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." Verse 25, this is happening tragically in the negative too much. "And let us not neglect our gathering together." You know, I'm telling you, you know what this means? I don't need to get together with other Christians. Don't neglect, don't push it off. Don't ignore it. Don't let it gather weeds. I don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to church to be saved. That's true. But you need to go to church if you're going to be connected with what God's doing and with what God wants to do. And you'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus unless you fellowship. Listen, isn't it amazing? The church is actually resilient to technology. The church uses technology. But this silly thing called preaching, evangelism, fellowship, these things are eternal. They never go away. And when you come together as a church, when some people say they're going to just sit out church for a while, that is a slippery slope greased by Satan's butter. I just made that up. Does that make sense? Okay. I mean, he's just greasing it. And you're like, whoa, whoa, until you get equilibrium with the fall. It's like, it's okay. I haven't been to church in a year. I feel good. You're dying. You're dying. Watch out. You're dying. You're not prepared. You're not ready. Well, how do you know? Because listen, are you doing good works and are you exhorting others to continue on in the faith? Every Christian, well, I'm not involved in the ministry. You should be. You're a Christian, aren't you? Yes. Then you know someone in your life who's a Christian, don't you? Yeah. You and I are to provoke them to continue on with Jesus. That's enough conviction for today alone right there. And then third and finally, we're going to end right here out of time, is that in the 21st century Christian is expected to discern false from the true. The false from the true. Biblical doctrine, we're to know it because there's no other way for you to expose false prophets, false prophecies, false teachers than knowing the Bible. You can never identify the false unless you know the true. Three ways quickly. Immerse yourself in the Bible. I wish I could start a campaign, like, you know, just put a little tracking device on your Bible and you. Press a button and you get shocked, you get electrocuted, and your Bible opens up. And you have to read it. Immerse, 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 immerse. Okay? Am I spending more time watching what? I don't know. Listening to what? I don't know. Than Bible. I'm going to ask you guys, let's take this on for like a month. Let's start to divorce ourselves from the things that distract. A lot of noise out there. A lot of distractions. What if we took a month to say, I'm going to read the Bible more than I ever have in my life? Oh my goodness, watch what happens. Heart rate's going to go down. Blood pressure's going to go down. Your joy is going to increase. Isn't it funny? Well, if I just eat yogurt and water, I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose where I need to, and I'm going to gain where I need to, and I'm going to feel better. And look at the stuff we do. We look at people, what's wrong with you? What? Don't I look great? You look like you're from Auschwitz. What's wrong with you? You're so skinny. What's the deal? Oh, you know what? It's just, you're starving yourself to death, man. Eat something. Oh, I'm on this thing. What if we had that kind of tenacity? Hey, did you see what happened on, man, I'm trying to think of a program. What's a program? I just thought of Days of Our Lives. Is that still a program? Did you see what happened on Breaking Bad? I have no idea what that is. She does. Breaking Bad. Okay. Did you see the latest episode on Breaking Bad? Oh, yeah, there's something. Oh, okay. Well, the next question we're going to be able to say, and listen, what's God telling you in your life? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Listen, we need to change that. Let's just do like a month. Let's just do like a month and see what happens. So what? Did you hear what happened on Breaking Bad or the rams and the goats playing each other? What? Say, I don't know, but God has been showing me. Oh, mama, that's awesome. Think of that. That's cool. That'd be great. Immerse yourself in the Bible. Listen, expect to be resisted. You're going to be resisted. Expect it. Cheer up. It's going to be native. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, do not be ignorant of prophetic things. You're going to have a knowledge of what's going on. Listen, you guys, you can tell people in your neighborhood. They want to hear something, really. They won't volunteer for it. But when you say, hey, I just got to tell you something, man. Did you know the Bible? Did you see what's going on in the news? The first thing, when you start sharing with them current events from the Bible, they're going to resist you. They might say, you know, you're nuts. Get off my porch. You know what? Hey, let me tell you. If somebody attacks Syria, they're going to come knock on your door. This is, church, listen. We're done. We're done. Watch. You can do this. Will Syria or Damascus be destroyed? Yes. We don't know when. But we could say, hey, neighbor, I know you don't hear this. I know we're Christians and I know what you think about us. But look at this. Isaiah 17:1 says Damascus will be destroyed and it will never again be inhabited. Watch. Have you turned the news on lately, dude? Turn it on. See. And check it out. Have a nice day. You just planted a ginormous seed of evangelism. Church, you can all do this today. Go to your neighbor's house today before something happens. Your credibility will go through the roof. Your neighbor's going to say, how'd you know that? How did you know that? Well, that's not all I know. Jesus died for you. And for, they'll go, well, what else does the Bible say? It's amazing. But expect resistance. And then we end with this. Give yourself fully to Jesus. My friend, give yourself fully to Jesus like never before. Big time now. Give yourself to Jesus. Now listen, you may be a full-blown Christian here today and you're thinking, I gave myself to Jesus, you know, back 20 years ago. Have you given yourself to Jesus today? Listen, you were born again once. But can I put it this way? We are to be devoted daily. Yes, Lord. You have every day, yes, Lord. So Christian, listen, just Christian right now. James says in James 5:8, you also be patient. Oh, we need to hear that right now, huh? Patient. Your hearts, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The verse, James is saying, watch the scene. Be discerning. Feel it. Be patient. God always keeps his promises. Establish your hearts. The word implies that you're in a rough time. Difficult time. Establish your heart. Have big roots. Anchor deep in your heart. The word of God does that. God's promises. Why? Because the day of the Lord's coming, man. That's what James says. He said that 2,000 years ago. Hello, that's 2,000 years closer than the day he said it. Any day now. Think about it. And we end with this. Isaiah 45:21 begins by saying, declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you alone have been so kind to us that you would give us the future in advance. You didn't have to. You didn't have to tell us what you were going to do. You didn't have to tell us what was going to come. But you did. That alone ought to blow the minds out of any doubter right now. That God has spoken about the future in advance in the Bible for us to read it. And we have absolute confidence because those things that have been fulfilled, that were written in your word, were fulfilled exactly, literally, how they were spoken. The things that are yet remaining to be fulfilled, we know from science, research of how you conduct yourself, God, in our world, you will fulfill them literally as you have given them. Wow. The greatest announcement of all is that a sinner could be saved. How prophetic is that? That you died on the cross and rose again from the grave, that some 2,000 years later, someone hearing us today would be able to say, Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me of my sins and make me ready? Will you come into my life and save me? Jesus, will you take the reins and control of my life? If that's your heart's desire, you tell him now, right where you're at. He's God and he's listening. Father, we praise you and exalt your name. And as believers, may we go to our neighbors today in love, in truth, and in confidence. And may we say, man, have you seen this? Have you seen what my God can do? We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for putting up with us daily, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to us. And it's in His name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.